Imagine you are parked on a road in Spain, and instead of a traffic jam, right, a wall of thousands of chanting pilgrims just walks over your car.
Yeah, like literally over it.
Exactly. They don't go around, they just step on the hood, the roof, the trunk, until the car is just a flat sheet of red metal.
Which is such a wild image, right? Welcome to the world of Albert Flaw.
Yeah, so today we're diving into this surreal, kind of satirical nightmare. It's an exploration that's less of a travelogue and more of a, a funhouse mirror held up to Spanish culture and bureaucracy.
Right, so we're following Raúl Gadea. He's this hopelessly naive Uruguayan singer.
Yeah.
And his manager, Tito.
And Tito is, well, he's basically a survivor of a dead industry.
Oh, completely. I mean, Tito is beyond cynical. Every single artist he has ever managed has died of an overdose.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's essentially this ghost managing a dreamer.
So Raúl has these stars in his eyes, right? And Tito's just waiting for the inevitable tragedy, like when they hit Santiago de Compostela.
Right, the cathedral.
Yeah, Raúl is just blown away by the sheer size of it. But Tito just calls it a 2,000-year-old scam run by mop-headed priests.
Which is such a Tito thing to say.
I mean, I have to push back a little there.
Yeah.
It is a UNESCO World Heritage Site,
Yeah.
right? A masterpiece of human achievement.
Sure, but to Tito, it's a monument to a product that doesn't actually exist. And Plá uses Raúl's outsider status to really make that Spanish self-loathing pop.
Oh, I see. Because Raul is expecting this beautiful motherland.
Exactly. And the decay Tito points out is just so jarring to the reader. It's the new world coming to the old world, only to find out the old world is just a beautifully decorated graveyard.
And that decay isn't just in the churches, it's in the institutions too. Like when they get to the University of Salamanca.
Oh man, the high-tech graveyard.
Yeah. They're looking for a sound system, right? And they end up in this basement filled with literally millions of euros of European-funded equipment.
Unpacked equipment, like still in the boxes.
Right. And get this, it includes a machine that literally cures cancer. Wait, really? If they have a cure for cancer in the basement, why on earth is it just sitting there?
Red tape. I mean, it's pure bureaucracy. Nobody has the permission to open the boxes, and literally nobody was trained to use them.
That is insane.
It really highlights a recurring theme in the material, you know? Prestige over utility. The university just wants the status of having it.
Like a shiny trophy.
Exactly. And it's the exact same reason the rector hired Raúl in the first place. He didn't care about Raúl's music.
Oh, right. He mistakenly thought Raúl was Jorge Drexler, the Oscar winner.
Yep. He just wanted to use that connection to meet Drexler's wife.
It's all about image, while the substance is just, gasping for air. And as they move through Spain, that substance finally just, well, collapses, right?
Completely falls apart.
Like the pilgrims crushing the car was bad, but then there's a virus.
Right. A virus that specifically only kills people who speak Catalan.
Which is a huge political flashpoint, obviously. We're just impartially looking at Plaz's work here, so we aren't taking sides, but it's a heavy metaphor.
Oh, absolutely. It turns Montserrat into this landscape of just silence and corpses.
Yeah.
By using this bizarre mechanic, Plá is really mocking the absurdity of language and identity politics.
Because if you define yourself entirely by a language, and that language becomes a literal death sentence, like, what is left?
Nothing.
Speaking of nothingness, what about Valencia? The entire city is gone, replaced by a giant marble bust of its president.
Yeah.
Is that Plá saying that political branding has just completely wiped out actual society?
That's exactly it. When a city becomes just a statue of its leader, there's no room for the people anymore. The nothingness is the ultimate destination of that political ego.
So how do you even survive a world where logic is just packed up and left? Their escape plan involves a secret underground library in Madrid and a clown
Yeah,
mall.
the Iconodules run this life.
The Iconodules, right? It's this vault of like everything the Inquisition tried to burn, all
Yeah.
the heretical images and books. But to get out, to cross the border through a violent police blockade, they don't use a bribe or anything. They put on a magic clown nose from a famous performer.
Yeah, if you do.
Okay, I struggle with that. A clown nose as a security pass. It sounds a bit, I don't know, like a cheap plot device.
I hear you, but honestly, it's the most logical thing in the book.
Really?
Really, think about it. In a reality, this broken and bureaucratic making sense is a liability. The police represent a system that has completely lost its mind.
Okay.
So by wearing the nose, Raúl and Tito literally become part of the joke. They become invisible because they don't fit the serious parameters of the blockade.
Oh, wow. So the absurd is the only thing the system cannot process.
Exactly.
So the joke is essentially their only suit of armor left. So that's a really haunting thought, especially when you look at how Raul ends up.
Right, he makes it back to Uruguay.
Yeah, but as a corpse washed up on a beach, it's like the journey changed him completely, but the world stayed exactly as cynical as Tito promised.
It really forces you to wonder if a magic clown nose is the only thing that grants you invisibility from this crushing, irrational authority. What does that actually say about the role of humor in our own lives?
Yeah, like, is a joke just a distraction from the decay, or is it literally the only tool we have to survive a bureaucratic nightmare?
That is the big question.
Definitely something to mull over the next time you find yourself stuck behind an endless wall of red tape. Thanks for joining us for this exploration today.